Notcast, episode 243. That feel when no boyfriend. Super Valentine's Day edition, motherfuckers.
Oops, my chair's hitting my mic stand.
Oh no, you've ruined everything forever.
I know.
You unprofessional shitcock.
Take three.
No.
Shitcock.
So, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva is not here for very unfortunate reasons. Her mom died.
Yeah, she has to go and attend the funeral out of state, and so she's dealing with the weather and everything getting up there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, her flight got canceled a couple times today.
And she did make it, but now she has to come back.
Yeah.
She's driving a car back from that area, which is going to be kind of crazy, because she's doing this right before Fiesta.
Yeah.
Yeah, Free Fiesta is a week from now. Holy fuck. Like, a literal week from today, it's Thursday night, we will have everything set up and going, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Yeah.
Except not really, because, I mean, it's like year six.
So, for Shiva, like, it's just unfortunate timing.
Oh, yeah. It's been really rough on her, and, you know. So, if you see her at Fiesta, be nice.
Yeah. Give her some love, but don't be creepy.
Yeah. Don't be creepy. That's very important.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll see if there's anything we can do to help once.
Yeah,
I talked to Sarah today, and he said shit should be under control. They've got some assistance in the dealer's room and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I'm sure she has backup plans. So yeah, that's the unfortunate situation going on right now. Everything's in last minute, oh shit mode.
Yeah,
final meetings, making sure bags are stiffed.
Tieran's been working on the final tweaks to the con book and the calendars, and I think he submitted the order for the calendars. I'm not sure if he did the con books yet.
Is there a place local that has that short of a turnaround?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think he had the con books done locally last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably through the same place. Anyways. Okay, well, that's good to know.
I mean, some local place. I don't remember the name of it. It's not a place we use for any of our books or anything, but the Con Book is a non-adult grayscale magazine.
So. Yeah, and we don't print, but like, what, 2,000? If that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're budgeting for 1,800 this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like it's even that huge of a print run.
Yeah. And we'll have the calendar
like
Acon
where they order 25,000 copies of something.
Good lord, yeah.
That'll be interesting when that finalizes. So yeah, it's been an exciting and fun, magical week over here on my end.
Mm. You've been working on audio shenanigans.
Yep, too, so. Audio shenanigans, and have to try to get divisions through the approval process. So there were some audio derps in my initial files, apparently, so I've had to go back through and do a fuckload of edits and fixes and re-rendered nonsenses and running it through Levelator and just trying to fix these niggling little things that they demanded I fix before they approve it. It's like, oh, pieces of shit. Because it's not like my recording style has changed. It's gotten better. I've improved over time, but I guess the guy who the QA that got it this time was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So while Kyle's off having magical international adventures, I'm not necessarily sitting on my thumb and spinning because, you know, there's always Summer Hill to work on. But it's been frustrating because I've had to do all these extra tweaks when I just wanted to be done.
Well, it's a catch-22 when you deal with a company like that because they want a high-quality product. So that's good. It's going to ensure that your audiobook is good quality. And then on the other hand, I've dealt with them in other ways where it's just like, okay, now your demands are unreasonable.
Unreasonable and arbitrary.
Yeah. So it just depends. I mean, it's Amazon, yeah. And Audible, and, you know. So now you're dealing with them. So.
Yeah, because I was really hoping it'd be out by now, but it's been really frustrating. Other than that, though, I mean, shit's good.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost officially at this point 115 pounds.
Cool.
And that's with about a well, a literal week to go until Fiesta, and that was my basically my start point. So that's within the span of about a year at this point.
Okay, cool.
So you want the dick? Come see me. Oh.
You can see more of it now.
Yeah, there's that little fat layer. You get that extra hidden inch.
Yeah, somebody said, like, you get, like, an inch for every 50 pounds or something.
I don't know.
Time to break out the measuring tape. Check the waist. Check the dick.
Yep. Gotta make sure. Better check my thick dick privilege. Still there. Other than that, just... things working out pretty well.
Okay. Well, I went to the con last weekend. I went to Wizard World Convention in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And Wizard World is a convention that happens in various cities over the course of the year. They're a big company to run multiple cons. They actually had a Wizard World Dallas years ago. I don't know. I think maybe Dallas Comic Con has grown so big that... Yeah. Like, the niche is sort of filled here. Well,
there's, like, three of these events a year at the Irving Convention Center.
Oh, that's the big news. Dallas Convention Center has officially been... Dallas Comic Con has officially been bought by a larger company. Fan Expo, which runs various expos like that around the country. Mm-hmm. And they're moving to the Dallas Convention Center. So they're going to have, like, four times the space.
Yeah, the Irving Convention Center is kind of shit.
It's okay. I mean,
it's new and recent, but it's mm-hmm. also, I don't really like it. I don't like
really?
The building's kind of gross looking. I mean, it's rusted metal. It looks like, you know, kind of looks like a sandcrawler from Star Wars in a way. And having to queue outside really sucks.
Yeah, but the Dallas Convention Center is also brand new. It's only a couple years old, but it's much...
They knocked the old one down and rebuilt it?
Yeah, this one's only... It's very recent. Okay. I remember there was that big bond issue about building Dallas a real convention center, and they wanted to get approved to build hotels attached to it and all that.
Okay, yeah, because there's the Omni.
Yeah, it's like a big...
That's going to be fucking expensive.
Yeah, we'll see. They're, Shatner's coming this year. It's in May. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee will be there. Robert Englund. They're going to, because it's a few months out, they're going to wait and gradually announce it. But anyway, a completely different convention. I went to Wizard World, New Orleans, where I met Matt Smith. Had my picture taken with him, and he's holding Fez, which you saw mm-hmm. the picture, which is like, it's awesome.
The badger with a Fez. Awesome.
Yeah, so I walked up to him, and this was really just a click, go, click, go, click, go. That was what the photographer was just, it was like boom, boom, boom. It was that fast. There was no time for any...
Hey, they have to print money.
Yeah, there was no time for a lot of personal interaction, because there was a lot of people that wanted their picture with Matt Smith. So I walked up to him, and I said, would you mind holding my badge here? And he says, no, not at all. And he's smiling and he grabs the badger. And the picture turned out really great. Yeah. I thought, you know.
It looks good.
It does. Yeah. And like Tieran was really happy with it. Fez gets to be in a picture with Matt Smith. So. And of course, I did have him wearing his little Fez mm-hmm. and everything. So, and then I got his autograph later on after the photo session thing was done. But he had him sign my season 5 Blu-ray box set of Doctor Who. It's his first season, the Pandorica one.
Oh, okay.
So it slides out of the outer case, and it's got like a wall of the Pandorica printed on the outside of the flip case part on the inside. So it's a perfect spot for him to scribble. And his signature got probably degraded a lot over the course of the time, because by the time I got up there, like, they had been doing personalizations, so they'd taken everybody's name and put it on a little post-it note so he could personalize it. By the time I got up there, the handlers were like, oh, we don't have time for personalizations now. And it was just like slight thing in front of him, as he signs, pushes it along, starts signing the next thing. He did give me a fist bump, though, and I picked up my DVD, Blu-ray, so.
I mean, just the amount of money those guys generate by going to these events is kind of crazy if you think about it.
Well, I don't know what he's getting, because, I mean, a lot of that, like, for the lower tier people, a lot of times they're autographs, they keep all that money. But for the higher tier people, some of those where it's actually worked into like the cost of attending the con, because I bought like a Matt Smith package, basically, that included the 3-day admission, the autograph, and the photograph, instead of doing that separately.
Okay.
So that will all be them being able to pay for his appearance fee and his flight and everything. Yeah, well, like that.
Some agents will do like a 50-50 split on the cost.
They could have done something like that. I don't know. I don't know all the details of their economics. I mean,
yeah, their economics are at a galaxy away from what our Fiesta economics are.
And you're talking like we had like Chicago TARDIS when I went to see the three doctors up there. They were like, don't take too much time. But even then, it was like there was time to have like a 30-second chat and, oh, take a seat, you know, between Colin Baker and Paul McGann. And, you know, and they were trying to, I thought they were moving people through at a pretty good pace. But this one was day and night, how quick they were churning through people. And he was sitting on a chair, one of those elevated chairs. So it's kind of funny. So the people would stand next to him, and I actually look an inch taller than him, which is weird because he's actually really tall in real life. He's like 6 foot something.
Yeah.
So he's way taller than me.
But. Tall and gangly.
Yes.
So when does Capaldi season start?
August is the date I've heard. That's actually not bad. I can't remember. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they thought he wasn't starting until December, until Christmas again. And I was like, no, we get a full season with no break this time, and it starts in August.
Okay, cool.
So that'll be good. So, yeah.
The Christmas and probably an Easter special this time?
Actually, there's never an Easter special. It's always, used to be the new season would start in Easter.
Ew.
So, like, Tennant's first couple years and Eccleston's first year started Easter weekend.
Then they have the break and then the rest of the season.
Yeah, and then when Tennant did his season of specials, there was an Easter special that year because he was just doing specials. But things have kind of gone off the rails since the schedule got wibbly-wobbly and everything. So.
Very timey-wimey.
Yeah, so I, Taryn and I were having a long discussion about this and about the last season of Matt Smith there, and it's like, really kind of feel that this season was hurt by the weird split schedule, because they promoted it like it was a good thing, like, you have twice the number of big season finales to look forward to, and twice the number of big season premieres to look forward to, because you have the mid-season big episode, and then you have the second part opening, basically. And it's like, it didn't really work out that way, because there was clearly storylines that it would have stood to build it up more over the course of the season as a whole, instead of doing like 6 or 7 episodes of Amy and Rory, and then the last half of the season with Clara.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, yeah, it's great. And you, of course, you did have the 50th and the Christmas specials too, but you haven't seen all of season 7,
no.
Have you? It has a very uneven feel.
I haven't even seen Angel Take Manhattan.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Clara's first episode is a good one. But there's an episode that is absolutely beautiful to look at. Like, gorgeous effects, really cool, interesting place and everything, but really didn't like the story at all. So, like, maybe next time I watch it, I'll just put it on mute and look at how cool everything is.
Like, all right, the writer had a stroke midway through, so we're going to spend a lot of money on budget, on effects.
I can definitely tell the problem is I believe that Moffat took his eye off the ball. because he was making season three of Sherlock. So I don't think he maybe had as much oversight over the episodes that he wasn't writing. So Matt Smith, have you seen Matt Smith's last episode? No. I know he was, okay, but you've seen the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah.
So
that was pretty good.
The 50th anniversary special is fucking amazing. Yeah. It's really good. It's a fitting tribute. It's a story that I felt did everything right, and I was really happy with. And then the very next episode is the Christmas special, and it's Matt Smith's last episode. It's a regeneration episode. And it's just not as good. I mean, maybe because the 50th was such a high that you can't really go from that without stepping down a little bit, but there were problems with the story that I was just kind of like, it's not a terrible episode, but like, I guess I kind of hope that 11's last episode would have been better. So, you know, yeah, people expect me to love unconditionally everything with Doctor Who, and it's like,
no.
Whoa, Fuzz, did you see that episode? Didn't you think it was amazing? And I was like, it had its moments. It was okay, you know? I can look at things sort of objectively.
It's like people, you know, it's kind of the same thing with me and ponies. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, people expect you to be this super fanatic, and it's like, no, I mean, I'm going to take the episodes what they are. It's like, did I like it? Yes, no. I mean, yeah. It's not like everything these people put out is amazing gold. Oh.
Yeah. And with both shows, you're also dealing with multiple writers. It's not like you know, one person who writes every episode. I mean, Doctor is a little different in that Moffat writes the major arc-turning episodes. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, with Ponies, I mean, they have a bunch of contracted writers. And it's cool that they deal with the same people multiple times when they can get them.
Yeah.
You know, when their schedule is not tied up with something else, which is why Mitch Larson didn't have an episode last season, because he was doing
this season
other things. Oh, it's this season?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. He wrote Magical Mystery Cure, yep. Right? Damn you, Larson. No. But, yeah. Not every episode of your favorite show is going to be fantastic. And people know that, so it's weird when they turn to, when you know I'm a fan of Doctor Who and they think I'd eat absolutely everything Doctor Who. It's like, it's nice they think of me, but it's like, I don't really need, like, a TARDIS bathroom scale.
Step on it, it makes the screaming noise. No, the cloister bell.
Double hearts start pounding like you're going to have a heart attack. That was just something I pulled out of my head, and I was like, yeah, that's great. I get, you know, like the USB hub. They're like, oh my God, a USB hub. I'm like, I have a USB hub. But this is the new TARDIS. It's like, yes, but
it's still a USB
hub. How many TARDIS USB hubs do I need? All of them. I have two computers. Maybe I should have two.
I'm sure Tieran would not abuse you for it.
Well, it was funny because when I had it on my old computer, my old iPod could be powered with the USB hub, and the newer iPod needs to be plugged directly into a USB port, so I can't use the hub anymore. But back when I used the old one, and every time you connect something to it, it makes the TARDIS noise. So every morning, I would sync my iPod. And so every morning, you know, Tieran would be asleep in bed, and as I get my iPod ready for work for the day.
God.
And a little light would go. It was cool. Speaking of which, I need to get batteries for my TARDIS cookie jar so that I can irritate him with that, too.
Yep.
But, yeah, so Matt Smith, awesome. Fiesta in a week.
Oh, shit.
We have a panel on Thursday. Kyle's book launch for his new cupcake.
So you, for Planet, has a panel.
Oh, that's what I meant by we. Yeah, for Planet. Not you.
Well, no, it's like, when you say we, people might think Notcast has a panel.
Oh, my bad. No, we as in myself, for Planet, and Kyle Gold have a panel on Thursday to launch The Mysterious Affair of Giles, which is his sort of homage to the Agatha Christie-style murder mystery. but with lesbians.
Yay!
So
lesbians.
I really enjoyed it. I want to try to get like some tea and crumpets or some cucumber sandwiches or something old fashioned and British. Is like
lemon water.
I hadn't heard of that.
It's like this little, or like cups of tea with slices of lemon in it.
Oh, okay. But yeah, look up some stuff like that, and you know, have that in the panel and whatnot. Oh, it'll be interesting because we'll be in this new hotel. I don't know where anything is.
I mean, it'll be interesting for sure. I mean, this is our first time at the newer hotel, and you know, I mean, this con this hotel has seen conventions similar to ours in the past.
I don't think it really has.
That was the thing. Fest was like there a decade ago.
Oh, so it's all that staff will have changed so many. I mean, like our hotel reps changed like 3 times in less than a year.
Oh, for the guy that was our head that we dealt with last year at the Crown, he had just come in when we first started contacting him, and then he changed positions into something else. And then just wouldn't fucking contact us. The guy, like, left us swinging for a while.
For Fiesta or Nightmare Nights?
Nightmare Nights. And so the guy actually was like, oh, yeah, I changed positions and I didn't bother to fucking tell you. By the way, yeah, we're totally proving that credit to drama. Well, thanks, fuckhead.
That's why there's such a delay in getting an answer from him.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, we decided we'd do this, like, a month or two ago. We just never returned your call because I was so busy doing my new job.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah.
Let's read a Tumblr. Let's read a Tumblr.
Okay.
A Tumblr.
A Tumblr has sent us a question. So, pick one, Fuzz.
Okay.
There's only, like, 2 of them.
Where's the other one?
There's one from the 6th and one from Monday.
Okay, I'll read it.
Has it really been 2 weeks since you recorded?
No. But we don't cover every single thing. Excuse me, sorry. I was a little ratty tonight. Hey, it's a Central California fox here. Did you guys hear about the openly gay man who is going on to the NFL? He comes from a school whose mascot is Tigers. A gay Tiger going into the NFL. Kyle Gold reference? Thoughts on the matter? It's like, yeah, this is actually a big deal.
It actually is a big fucking deal. What's the guy's name? Yeah, I'm going to look
Google
it up. Google quickly.
I knew until you asked me. What was really cool today is one of our local sports newscasters, he's on Channel 8, WFAA, made basically a commentary on it. He's like, all the people that are complaining about this guy's sexuality, you know, need to remember this. And he made comparisons to, like, the civil rights movement and interracial marriage and women voting and, you know, it basically was like, stop bitching, you're on the wrong side of history. Which is kind of like, when you see the mainstream news, they're all like, Texas sportscaster says this. And it's like, wow, that's really crazy, because Texas is like uber conservative. But, I mean, he is from Dallas, so.
Yeah.
But I was actually kind of proud of, you know, my local news team would be like, right on, man, you know. He probably pissed a lot of people off. I mean, at first I heard about it on Tumblr just randomly, but then it fucking made CNN. So somebody going on the news and making a stand is kind of like...
The guy's name's Michael Sam, yeah.
Right, I remembered his last name was 4 letters for some reason, and I couldn't remember what it was. But
Dale Hansen is the guy.
It's the newscaster.
He's on WFAA Channel 8.
Yep.
ABC,
I believe.
Yeah, you can find it. It's all over the fucking place because it's like, yeah, I mean, the guy itself, he's like, look, you know, I may not understand the gay thing and I don't understand his world, but I know that he is a part of mine.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was also kind of mirrored at The Daily Show. I mean, people are like, oh, The Daily Show, they would say that stuff, you know, the whole about the, you know, people that abuse animals, people that beat up and rape women, people that are criminals and druggies and all this other stuff, they're okay, but a gay man's a step too far. But yeah. It's another big fucking deal when a sportscaster mm-hmm. who's been kind of known as this good old boy forever yeah. is like, no, this is bullshit. This guy deserves a shot just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah. And for the player himself, actually, he came out to his family and his teammates in college, not publicly, like a year and a half ago or something yeah. like that. So they'd known for a while. And it wasn't universal acceptance. You know, he was mostly accepted and didn't really have any issues. But there were a couple people that were unhappy about it, apparently, but which is not surprising, really. But so now he's just making it public so that it doesn't come out later on as, like, this big thing. And yeah, he's kind of controlling the narrative. But and there, yeah, some people are saying, yeah, he's really going to damage his chances of being drafted. But it's like, but if somebody doesn't draft him, it's clearly because of his sexuality. Because he was, like, the All-American, like, the champion for that district or something like that.
He was, like, a top-tier player.
Yeah, and everyone that's been in that position has gotten drafted onto a team. So if he doesn't, it is totally about his sexuality and nothing to do with his ability because he has the ability.
So, you know, a team needs to, you know, the first team that takes that step is going to be like, it's going to be divisive, but in the long term, they're going to be seen as, you know, proper heroes or whatever that would enable stuff like that.
Also, another gay news. Gay news! Gay news! We should have, like, a segment.
Gay news. Oh, girl.
Yeah, clip that out, and we'll just, like,
why not?
Add some sparkle sounds to it and drop that into the episodes. Court in Kansas, a judge ruled that not their ban on same-sex marriage, but their ban on recognizing same-sex marriages performed in other states was unconstitutional. And his ruling is, like, really cool. Like they highlighted a bit of it and posted it online.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah. Fucking Kansas. I mean, obviously, it's going to be appealed and go further up the chain. Of course it is.
But, I mean, there's so many of these lawsuits going on right now.
Yeah.
The Southern Poverty Law Center recently filed one, today in Alabama.
Wow.
And it's before a judge in Texas. It's before a judge in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been ruled unconstitutional in Oklahoma. And, you know, now you're mentioning Kansas.
Yep.
We are dragging these motherfuckers into the modern age, kicking and screaming.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And, like, Nevada's attorney general has been like, yeah, I'm not going to defend this when it comes up because it's totally going to fucking come up.
Oh, is Nevada doing that too? Because Virginia is.
Yeah.
Because they're Democratic governor.
Nevada's like, AG. Yeah, we're not going to fucking deal with this because we know we're going to lose. The writing's on the fucking wall. It's only a matter of time in the short term
mm-hmm.
when this is going to go. And, like, 2 days ago, I think it was, when it went before a judge in Texas.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like, are you going to summarily rule or are you going to make us go through all this rigmarole? And they're like, well, we're going to make it through the rigmarole. And I was discussing this with Panther and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his coworkers who pulled out the whole, oh, the state should get out of marriage. And we had a rather heated conversation about that.
I hate that retarded fucking libertarian point of view. And it's like, yes, maybe in libertarian fantasy land that would work. But here in the real world, in the United States of America, in this century, this is how we're doing it. And government gets involved in marriages. And there are a lot of tax rights and a thousand other legal rights that are backed by the federal level involved in marriage. So the government should get out of marriage is not a fucking option right now.
No, it's not, and it never will be. And then he pulled out honest to fucking God, pulled out the polygamy card. You know, I would have reached across the table and smacked him in the face if he'd done the, what about incest and bestiality? Because then we would have a problem.
Yeah.
There would have been murder in the pizza parlor. But
murder in the pizza parlor by Agatha Christie.
And he was trying to say that it was, you know, polygamy was legal in Thailand. I'm like, and of course, he says this shit, and I'm like, okay, phone out. polygamy in Thailand. It was legal until 1935. It's like, oh, well, it's still accepted. It's like, so it is in all these other cultures, shithole cultures in the world. Doesn't mean it's going to get federal, you know, we're in the United States. It's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point of view on that is that even if polygamy does get legalized, so fucking what?
Well, I mean, it's just basically...
I know they're trying to do the slippery slope bullshit argument, and I'm kind of like, so more than two legal adults want to enter a binding contract together. Whether they're getting married or forming an LLC, there shouldn't be any restriction on that. But, yeah, if he had gone directly to the incest and bestiality argument, that would have totally been like, you know what, you're a dumbass. Or the pedophilia, pedophilia argument, they tried to do that too.
Oh, you're going
to
fuck puppies?
That men will be able to marry boys and stuff like that. It's like, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pyropedonecrobestiality, it's the dead puppies on fire.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that there's all this shit just going and going and going and going, and there's really not, you know, you can't fucking stop it. And of course you've got teabagger scum like Cruz and Lee trying to introduce a bill to ban feds from recognizing out-of-state same-sex marriages. Sure, yeah, you guys can try to pass that.
Wait. Didn't the Supreme Court literally just say that that wasn't constitutional? Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with them?
They're like, oh, we're trying to make it so that it's like there's this thing called the Supremacy Clause and the 13th Amendment. Is it the 14th?
I don't know.
Fuck. Anyways.
I ain't American. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just dumb motherfuckers are going to pay. They are the ball lickers.
Yeah, they really are. Oh, God, what was... Yeah. So we had... Tira and I have been trying to discuss our wedding lately. And he's like, I don't really know what to do because I really never thought I would have any reason to get married. Because, like, shit has sped up so much in the last 10 years as far as gay rights are concerned. Like, I was hoping that it would be legalized sometime before I die, you know? And just the fact that it sped up so much in the last few years, and it's like, well, shit, we can get married now. But both of us are like, fuck, we've never really thought about this in great detail. So, like, we're doing some research. Yeah,
that's a really good email.
Talking to friends that have gotten married and everything like that, and you know, try to get some ideas and figure out where we're going to do it and everything. So, you know, long story short, we're all flibbity-jibbity and trying to work this out. But it's great that we actually can have the opportunity. And I'm pretty sure Texas will be forced to recognize it at some point in the not too distant future. But if you got an email, you want to read, go ahead.
Yeah, because the other Tumblr question's good too.
But it's also like a mile and a half long.
No, the other one's talking about... No.
Maybe it just looks long on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do the other Tumblr and then the one about sparkle dogs we could actually have a good conversation on.
Okay, go ahead. Pick one.
I'm going to pick the Tumblr question. Why do you think the reason is that furry art, at least on E621, have so many anatomically correct dicks and so few anatomically correct vaginas?
You don't really need to go through the entire...
A 5-minute tag search shows that it's about a 10-to-1 ratio... About 10 dicks to every vagina. So, yeah.
Mm.
Because...
Honestly, I mean, from my point of view, I didn't really know what the difference was. You know, I've never really looked at dog pussy. So, I just assumed it was like, well, there's an orifice and there's some lips and maybe there's a clit. I just kind of assume that they're all pretty similar.
Critter vaginas are probably about as varied as critter dicks, and they have various external structures and whatnot. I mean,
yeah, but I didn't really know that before a couple years ago when I first saw this argument. Yeah, it's one of those
things you didn't go too deep into that particular furry hole. I think it's part of, this is just like a theory, I guess. I think it's just because the dicks are they're exotic, and the fandom skews really gay, and so people like different looking, interesting dicks on their furry characters.
Because it was years before there were any strokers or vagges on the dildo sites.
Yeah.
You know, they were all focused on the exotic, different-looking animal dicks. But, you know, it was a while before you got, you know,
the
dragon pussy and stuff like that. Well,
the dragon pussy and the mare pussy and the dog pussy they have, you know, the rad dragon stuff. It's like...
I didn't know they had a dog pussy, too.
They do. Mm. I mean, the only difference is external appearance.
Yeah, the inside
It's all just a tube you fuck. And...
That's what all sex comes down to, man. It's all just a tube you fuck.
Well, they've got the fox butt now.
I saw that. It's actually got like the molded fox tail over it.
Yeah, I mean it's basically it, like,
yeah, fuck a fox.
It's an orifice you stick a penis into.
Preferably your own. Well, unless you're playing with a partner, which is also fun.
And it's also one of those things that, like, you know, the thing would be most quite familiar with would be canine and equine, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you do see a lot of, like, anatomically correct stuff with horses, but people have...
In the brony community, you do. You see, like, I didn't know about big old meaty horse pussy before the brony community. I'd never really seen that drawn before.
Well, I mean, it's certainly been drawn.
Yeah,
it's certainly been in the furry community for a long time.
I had not noticed it.
I guess it's just an aesthetic choice. I mean,
a regular vagina or a big meaty horse vagina,
or you know, the weird external structure, you know, a human vagina on a female, or the kind of weird looking external structure of a canid.
I mean, so what's different about dog pussy?
It just looks different. It's, you know,
okay.
You're asking me to describe this, and
tell me all about dog pussy. I want to know. This shit's like Animal Planet. You know, put your David Attenborough impersonation.
Well, the primary difference is that canine vaginas have significant amount of external structure,
such as tentacles,
yeah,
to drag the male closer by the dick.
I don't fucking know. Just. Basically, it's because a lot of artists are dudes. A lot of dudes like exotic-looking dicks and dog and horse dicks and, you know, whatever fantasy dicks people draw. Hey, dragons, what do dragon dicks look like? There's like a million different variations. Why? Because we wanted to draw a fantasy dick.
Oh, totally, yeah. And I love when they try to... I was going to say dick around, and I was like, no. But they mess around with, like, this is an anthro cock, and they can actually make, like, the anthro werewolf dicks and stuff like that. It allows them to be a little bit more creative.
You just go to Bad Dragon.
Okay. While you go looking at dog vagina on Google Images, I'm good.
Totally not what I'm doing.
Hairy dog vag search. Okay, I'm going to read this email about sparkle dogs. So what kind of vaginas do sparkle dogs have?
Depends on if they're anther or not.
They have like neon labia or something.
So there's a dragon butt too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's fairly new. They're like, yeah, you can fuck their.
So like big it has dragon. Just like external structure. It's like the meaty lip. The lips are like exterior.
Big meaty horse vag. Hey, it's the Wisconsin-y, sketchy, fluff civet Gennet Buttface, emailing from inside my cozy home, hiding away from the minus 20 degrees Celsius weather outside. That's moon temperature. Why are you using moon temperature when you live in Wisconsin?
Damn Canadian influence.
I have a somewhat sociological question. I almost read it as pathological question. And I may just be looking too deeply into silly matters. I feel like people who make the neon-colored husky, leopard, hyena, fox, dragon, demon, angel wing hybrid with the scar over its eye get seriously slammed into furry fandom. Yes, because they're retarded.
Well, read the email, and then we'll say why we think they are.
Okay, all right. I don't fall quite that deep into that specific category, but considering pretty much none of my OCs that are drawn regularly have natural fur colors, and my own fursona is Technicolor, I get a bit of the hate as well. I don't need to question why people think it's weird, because plainly it is weird, but I do question why people are so vocal about it, because your character sucked! Ah! Okay, I'll hold off until I read the rest of the email. When they are so quick to get all up in arms when people make fun of them for liking upright walking dog, fox, wolf, cat, banana people. Of course, like, Shiva will get up in arms because she has more of them. I know not everyone is really serious about it, but getting emails from people saying stuff like, your fursona is a detriment, I think you mean detriment, to the fandom. Use realistic colors, yada, yada, yada. You don't need the big meaty horse vagina on top of your cock. That's really weird. When all I did was let my crazy mind paint a cool character. It's really annoying. People can dislike it all they want. It's their opinion. I just want to know what specifically causes such hostile feelings from these purebred walkie-talkie animal people. Being called autistic isn't fun. Sketch again. P.S. Not for myself, but for the general listeners of this podcast, what age do you believe is the age people start dating? Through what I saw in high school, I myself say you shouldn't start taking romance seriously until you're at least 18 and or out of high school. Bitches be crazy in high school. Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, so on the P.S., I kind of agree.
So, Sparkle Dogs, why do you hate Sparkle Dogs and their glowing, flashing neon cum?
Well, okay, so here's the deal. I think a lot of people hate on Sparkle Dogs because the people that have them, more often than not,
are autistic?
No, are young and are using the extremeness of their style in place of being actually interesting characters.
Mm.
So you can have a million fucking accessories to differentiate your character, but if you're a flat individual who doesn't have much interesting to say, then it just basically is like people trying to one-up each other through their ridiculous design choices.
Oh, it's like, oh, what's that stupid term?
Dazzle them with bullshit?
No, it's like a gaming term that is like when you're it means something else. And I'm like, fuck, when you're constantly like running like a hyper powerful character.
God moding.
No, there's another term.
Power fantasy?
No. It's a word that means something else. And I was like, wait, what does that mean in this context? It's not plexing or trolling or... Oh, it's on the tip of my mind.
If you remember it, go ahead and let me know.
This is driving me nuts now.
I can totally see why artists would be pissed if you have a really bizarre fur color and they don't have the markers or whatever to do it.
Yeah, Photoshop is limited to Copex, like 130 marker colors.
Digital artists can do whatever, but like if you're trying to commission a traditional artist for like a badge or something, that they're going to do, you know, if you have a fucked up weird OC, that, you know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I think a lot of the hate on the Sparkle Doggy stuff comes from 15-year-olds on DeviantArt being ridiculous spazzes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people trying to one-up each other by going more and more ridiculous. Because, I mean, there's totally furries out there whose dicks are fucking glow sticks. They're furries. They have, like, glowing stripes, and their dicks and tongues are glowing, and their eyes are glowing, and they have these weird-ass stripes in their fur. Do I think it looks kind of silly? Yeah, but I'm also old enough that I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, I just kind of roll my eyes and move on. You know, it's... They just look fucking ridiculous. I mean, anthropomorphic animals have a long history of being in art, you know, going back to the Egyptians, science fiction. So to say, oh, you like your pure furry animals, it's like, well, yeah, there's sort of a literary history behind that. But let's slap together three species that would normally have nothing to do with each other and vomit neon and sparkles all over it and make his dick glow orange. It's kind of like, that's a little weird. That's a little beyond the pale. And it's just a daft looking character. I guess for me, I like the more something that doesn't break my sense of reality in a story, you know, like Red Lantern. You know, they'd put up a couple of cameo guest appearances auctions where, you know, you could have a character that shows up for three or four pages or something like that. And it went for a good deal of money. But they specifically put on there that you have to have basically a realistic character that will fit in with the world, and you can't have anything anachronistic. So it's like, I'm sorry if you think that glow stick is integral to your character. He can't have it in Red Lantern because it's not the time frame that
cyborg legs? I have to have my cyborg legs. I'm sorry, you're just going to have a little cart with wheels.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, I mean, it's about the kinds of stories and the kinds of comics, you know, the storytelling that I enjoy is the slightly more realistic looking and animals.
This is what my next game is going to be, a very base kind of thing, but like, if your OC is too ridiculous, I don't want to see it in porn. It's like, wow, those.
I also cum rainbows.
Well, I've seen some furry art that, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, these two ridiculous glowing OCs are coming. It looks like lava. Oh, man. The cum is lava.
The floor is lava. The cum is lava. Don't let it get in your eyes.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just probably why. And again, the people that would be really overtly hostile are probably young as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, opinions.
Yeah, man. Opinions.
All right.
Grow up and get a real character. Okay, maybe not quite that bad. Well, I read the Sparkle Dog email, so.
Okay, so we'll just wait one more, and we'll. Well, it's only 8:42. We're doing good. What time do we start?
I don't know. I guess like 8 something.
Yeah, we're not doing breaks anymore. We're just going to go through to about 9 o'clock.
Just going to power through it.
Yep. Flying Fabbit. Hi, Barbcasters. I was thinking of going to my first con this year, and out of all the things you guys have covered for cons, I don't believe you said much about airports. What should I know about being in a plane, about airport security, about boarding, about departing, all of the everything I must know? Wondering how well this Acme Catapult will work. Legion Bunny, a.k.a. Fisk Fabbit. Remember, if you're going to an airport, you're in one of the most paranoid, hyper-surveilled places in the country. Don't be a dumbass. Make sure that you aren't bringing anything illegal on a plane. Leave your knives, dildos, and guns at home. You can bring dildos, just put them in your bag, and be prepared for the TSA, if they look at your bag, to leave them on top with a note with a smiley face on it.
So, if it's your first time flying, when you book the ticket, I'd go to the airline's website, and they will have instructions on there about what you can and can't bring on the flight. I would also honestly look this up on Google or eHow, and I'm sure they have some kind of list of do's and don'ts on there about how to airplane, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'd say it's all basic common sense stuff, but frankly, with some of the regulations, not all of it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you'll have to take your shoes off, you know, because some dumb fuck tried to put a bomb in his shoe, so now we all have to take our shoes off the airport. That was years ago.
Yeah, and
we're still doing it.
Hey, at least you don't have to take our underwear off, because that one motherfucker did underwear bombs.
Yeah.
You must fly naked.
Well, now, but now we have to stand in nudie booths. Where that's they true. Scan through your clothes, so there you go.
And yeah, they're like, yeah, we get to see your junk, and we laugh at you.
The other thing that is of particular attention is the limitation on gels. You can't have a container more than 3 ounces, so if you want to bring, like, shampoo or lotion or something, make sure it's the tiny travel-sized one. You can go to Walgreens or CVS, and they'll have a travel section. Of particular note to gay furries going to a con, this also applies to lube. So now, this is just on carry-on luggage.
It's you have bag. To pack bag too.
No, it's not. You can take like a gallon of lube in a packed bag if you want. Just make sure it doesn't leak.
Yeah, remember, the difference in pressurization will cause bottles to pop open.
Yeah. If you're gonna, so for carry-on luggage, you're subject to those limitations as far as any gel material, even toothpaste is considered under that. If it's not a solid, basically you have to watch out for it. When it comes to your packed bags, yeah, there have been pressure changes, like sometimes like someone's Barbasol has exploded and gotten shaving cream all over their luggage and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So for anything like that, shaving cream, lube, shampoo, body wash, hairspray, anything like that. You want to put all your toiletries into like a plastic Walmart bag or something, tie that shit closed, put it as a big ass Ziploc bag or something like that, so that if any of it does leak and spew everywhere, it's not going to fuck up your clothes or your sketchbook or whatever else you've got. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, for your tickets, you'll probably have them online. You can print them out from a PDF or something like that. And, you know, just follow the rules. You know, when the steward or stewardess asks you to sit the fuck down, then you sit the fuck down. There's so many stories of assholes, like, giving them a hard time and not following instructions. And are like, you know what? We're just going to call the air marshal and have you thrown off the plane and arrested.
Yeah.
And then probed. So I would goggle it just to make sure.
Yep.
So I guess I got to pick one now. Let me find my email here again.
Find the one you're looking for.
Okay, delete that one because we've read it already.
Delete that one too.
Okay. So I'll skip the first part of this. This is this Dear Notcast. First part is they're linking us to the College Humor video, which we'd already discussed. Mm-hmm. The second part, also, have you seen the recent additions to Bad Dragon's catalog? First, they came out with a dragon cocksheath, then a wearable werewolf, which, okay, cocksheaths can be interesting, and it means that you can use a toy and fuck someone at the same time. I can understand that. But the most recent addition, Limpy Packer toys, including a stallion one. I can understand making things interesting in the bedroom. I can even understand the sheaths. But this, you can't really use them other than to flop and slap someone with. So, is there really any other point to having these? Would love to hear you folks discuss this. A confused honey badger hybrid, DJ Batuse. So, Bad Dragon has a pink limpy now, basically?
Yeah, they're Packer toys. Remember we were talking about the ridiculous ebony thing?
Oh, I thought the ebony thing was an actual, like, just another horsecock dildo.
It's a limpy horsecock. It's a Packer. It's for people to... It's... More often than not, used by trans individuals.
Females transitioning to males. Yeah, FTM but trans. They usually use human cocks to pack.
Maybe they just want to
have
a horse cock. I don't know. I could also see it being used in, like, mersuits. I don't know. Mm. You know, maybe if there's, like, a horse mersuit out there with... You know, they want to put their the floppy black horse cock into their character's shorts so people can see that, oh my god, there's something down your leg, and they grab it, and oh my god, it looks like a horse cock.
Oh, I can't help but suck it.
It's one of those, I don't really fucking know. I mean, yeah.
It's a mystery product. How much are they?
They're like $80, I think. They're not cheap. I mean, none of Bad Dragon's products are cheap.
Maybe it's the Kevin Smith thing of having the panic room where the walls are lined with pink limpies and you go in and rub your face against them.
Yeah.
And it's soothing.
But yeah, it's the first thing on their thing. So, for those about to bulge...
Oh, wow. We salute you!
They actually have multiples now. They have multiple different ones. So, for those about to bulge, we salute you, whether you like to pack because it helps you express yourself, or you just get a kick out of a dragon lurking in your skivvies. Next time someone asks, are you hung like a metamorphic, anthropomorphic stallion, give them a surprise and something to remember with our unflared stallion packer. If you think you're good at getting huge things in small boxes, wedge an uncut studded dragon packer. And maybe you're feeling a bit naughty today, dragon packer's ready to go for some mischief. They have like five different dicks, packer dicks, that you can get. The only one that was like remotely, people got all, well, like two people, three people got mad about the ebony. The ebony horse cock. Ebony. I'm saying that word. Ebony. Trigger. Look at the size of this ebony horse cock.
Is there an ivory horse cock? Ebony.
No, there's pale. Ivory. Pale, peach, and ebony. Do you notice which one is the biggest?
Yeah.
Remember, positive stereotypes are okay. In any event, yeah, the medium is 115 and the small is 70. And they have a special right now. Medium chance unflared packer in Frankenpoor, as in it is a literal rainbow dick.
What is it, all three colors?
I'm pulling up the image.
Oh, okay.
It's called, we had a little bit of everything. So it's like purple with red ring around the middle with like a blue base and half the balls are.
So that's Rainbow Dash's packer.
It's sort of like the mutant child of Twilight and Rainbow. Yeah, sure, why not? So yeah, it's, I don't fucking know. I mean, it's like, if someone comes up and grabs you and they're like, oh, you've got a big dick. Not really. You know, it's like, it's just my packer.
Here, you'll be disappointed later.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not really 12 inches long.
Or shaped like a horse penis. It's just a human penis.
Yeah. Oh, it's a boring old human penis.
Surprise.
I'm sorry, it's not flared with six knots and barbs. And barbs on the knots.
God. Yeah, so, I don't get it. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's for, other than, like, I know that, like, female-to-male trans people pack occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You can use them as packing material when you're moving.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get some very, 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 very expensive packing material.
Just filling a box with them. This is for my fine china.
Yeah, it's like,
this goes around grandma's urn.
It's long enough to just wrap it around twice. Yeah, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. But, you know.
Okay.
Maybe people can role play. They have the limpy one, and then they have to swap it out later for the erect one.
Right.
For pegging. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking too hard about this.
Maybe you could hollow it out, stick a bicycle pump into base, and pump it up. Yeah.
Sure.
So, is it your turn to read an email?
That would be my turn.
Okay.
Let's, okay, this one is kind of a serious email. Bit of a wall of text. And this one is sent anonymously.
Okay. What's the subject?
So, I might be an asshole.
Oh.
So, I told myself I would not send in my first email until I finished every episode. Unfortunately, I'm still about 30 episodes away, but I need some validation on my actions. I prefer to be anonymous, since I think the party involved listened to the show. God, just strike me down if he figures out who I am. Buckle up, because I think this is a wall of text. It is, but it's okay. I'm a masochist, but not the type that enjoys physical pain. Instead, I seek out humiliation. I discovered I was into it about 7 years ago, and have stepped up my game every year since. To give you an idea, if regular masochists are into whips and chains, I'm into flamethrowers and chainsaws. I've become slightly bored with external humiliation and wanted to seek out a concept I read about called internal degradation. To make it simple, I wanted to do something sexual that normally would be repulsive to me. Well, since this isn't a Wheel of Fetish episode, so I'll work towards the point. I decided to fulfill my fetish by having sex with someone I perceived as undesirable. I sound fucked up by this point, but I understand that I'm quite aware I have no right to judge anyone. If anything, I'm probably the undesirable one if people knew how the gears worked. I picked someone in the fandom that was a bit of a social pariah. Bit awkward, wears weird things, talks about ponies, and absolutely no sense of humor. I invited him over and we started to hang out. He introduced me to Doctor Who and tried to get me into ponies. We shared a couple drinks before I made the first move. Oh, she picked up a brony. Ugh.
I sucked his horse dick and it was amazing.
He was a virgin and about as awkward as I expected him to be, along with a few weird fetish requests that were out of the norm for me. Despite all this, it was the best thing I'd ever had. It touched up a side of my fetish I'd never had before. We did the same routine several times over the past month, and I crave him more each time. The thing is, he has no clue why I do it, and even thought I wanted a relationship with him. I explained to him I didn't want one and just wanted to keep it simple. He was fine with that, but now I'm worried. I guess I'm coming to the realization that he's supposed to be my friend, but I'm treating him like a sex toy. I fantasize about seeing him again, but I won't even tell a soul I'm hanging out with him, let alone having sex with him. Even at the local meets, I avoid him like the plague so it doesn't come up that we even know each other. He's become my dirty secret, and that might not be a good thing. So down to my question. Is what I'm doing fucked up, or is I just worrying about stuff that doesn't matter? We both love it, as far as I'm aware, but I believe I got caught up in my fetish and I'm using him. If I'm doing something wrong, how do I make this right? Do I need to come clean? By the way, the only reason we're having sex is because I wouldn't be caught dead around you. I can't exactly talk to anyone about this for several reasons. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Anonymous anthropomorphic douche.
Hmm.
Wow. Yeah, you're an asshole.
Okay, tell me why, so that I can think about it.
Okay. So, basically you picked up an easy score. Somebody who is a virgin, never been laid, never mm-hmm. probably had anybody interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
Socially awkward. Social pariah, as you even said.
Oh, yeah.
And you come in to fulfill your kink by getting a little liquored up, and then you fuck him. And, you know, he did get to the point where you thought he thought you wanted to have a relationship with a guy.
Which, you know, I would consider reasonable.
Yeah,
you
know, considering it's happened multiple times. If you're fucking
repeatedly.
Yeah. And then you go and, you know, you don't associate with the guy anything else. You yourself say you wouldn't be caught dead with this guy. And that's not healthy at all for anybody. I mean, first of all, you're using the hell out of this guy. You're treating him like a walking, talking fuck toy. And that's not kosher. That's not cool. And the fact that, you know, you go out of your way to avoid him at meets and you don't want anybody to even know that you're hanging out with this person, let alone sticking your dick in him, that's really fucked up. So I'm glad you had the shred of a conscience to realize this, but you really are doing this guy wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come clean to this guy and explain. And, you know, the consequences of doing so will probably be rather dire. It's not that I wouldn't say you stuck your dick in crazy. That guy let you you know, crazy stick his dick in him. Now, this could all just be a troll, I don't know. But it's genuinely rather repulsive. Mm. It's gratification at another person's expense with them kind of in the dark about it.
Yeah. And that's the main problem I have with it. It's like, your fetish is not one that I share, so I can't say I would understand it, but I don't want to pass judgment on somebody's fetish and just say, you know, that's, you're disgusting. But at the same time, if you have a particular fetish and you're going to act on that with somebody, the other person should be in the loop about it. You know, like, I wouldn't get into a BDSM play session with someone who wasn't into BDSM, you know, yeah. And not tell them that, oh, no, I'm not just going to fuck you. I'm also going to, like, paddle the shit out of you or something like that. You know?
Your ass is going to glow.
Yeah. You know, that would be an unpleasant surprise to pull on someone that wasn't suspecting it.
Yeah.
And while he is blissfully unaware of your true feelings in the matter, I still think it's wrong on a level to use someone else for your fetish without their knowledge.
Well, and another thing that really bothers me is the fact that he even terms it internal degradation because he views this guy he's fucking as being beneath him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this guy is, you know, you get off on fucking someone you view as beneath you, as undesirable and not worth your time. You get your jollies off by,
well, he's
using him.
But he's degrading himself.
Yeah.
Because he's a masochist. So I think he's actually thinking, but
he's degrading himself
by, I'm such a shit that I have to be with this guy. So he's actually thinking he's beneath him.
I don't know.
We're also trying to psychoanalyze a fetish that neither of us share. So. Yeah.
I mean, it's really fucking foreign to me. I would never in a million fucking years do this to somebody because that would be just crushing. Oh, this person who's expressed interest in me and really likes fucking me, and that's great. I'm getting laid for the first time in forever. Oh, it's because they think I'm, like, disgusting and scum and would never fuck me in a million years if it wasn't for this kink.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be completely shattering to whatever tiny shred of self-esteem he may have built up over this fuck period.
Hmm. Reminds me of the time I did a podcast with this guy for 6 years, and he had no idea I hated him the whole time.
Wow.
Did I say that out loud?
Oh, well.
No.
Welcome to the last episode of Notcast, kids.
Sorry. They have to make light of situations are all crazy sometimes. I would stop what you're doing.
Stop.
And seek a healthier outlet for your kink. There has got to be other people that share this kind of kink. Or if you want to be degraded, find someone who will degrade you. Not all BDSM relationships have to be physical pain. You know, you can find someone that will put you in their place and call you a piece of shit and make you lick their boots. And if you want to be degraded, there are people out there that will do that for you.
Just don't do it on somebody who's not in the loop.
Right.
I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Consent is the main thing. Yeah, he is consenting to you fucking him, but he's not consenting to a weird mind game that you're playing with him.
Yeah. So there's that.
Okay. So archive that one and
probably do one more.
Well, excuse me. Let me delete the spam we just got.
Yay. Actually, the furry superheroes
are super gross. Is just a link to the.
Okay, so that one goes in the trash. So
that one will go away.
Hey, look, somebody sent us an attachment. Let's not open that.
Oh, why? It might be good. Oh, it's a. What the hell is a P7S file? It's also a really long email.
Oh, wow. Well, there's the There was somebody give us a con report.
Okay.
From 124.
Oh, I see one from 131. Okay, so for the confusion.
There's two FC con reports. We'll just read one of them.
All right, I will pick one.
Which one? Everyone is shorter.
It is hard to tell, actually. Okay, this one's shorter. All right.
31st.
Wolf's first con, FC 2014 con report. Okay. I'm reading this one, right? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
To Fuzz, Savern, and Shiba. Bird of Confusion 2014 was my first furry convention, and it was amazing. Let me take out my tongue, flatten it out, and put it back in my mouth. It got twisted. And it was an amazing experience. Going to panels and parties, meeting new people, and seeing friends. As an added bonus, my mate and I got to spend some intimate time together.
Oh, yeah.
Though we live close and see each other often, it's sometimes hard to have those moments. But those moments were not the focus of our trip. They were more of a fun thing to do during free time, which was quite rare. The experience started on Thursday when my fox picked me up from my house and spirited me away to the San Jose Convention Center, which would soon be crawling with around 3,500 furs. After arriving, the fox and I got to play a wonderful game of waiting in line for 4 hours. 2 just to get our badges at pre-reg, and then another 2 with a friend who didn't pre-reg, but was kind enough to wait with my mate and I while we got our badges.
Yikes.
The next 3, I'd seen people tweet 4-hour waits, and they weren't waiting with a friend. They were just 4 hours just to get their badges.
Jesus
Christ. Depending on the time they showed up, so.
Yeah, that'll be a fun when we get that big.
It's not even getting that big. It's apparently their registration, not their system, but the way they print badges and hand and check people in is apparently needs some work. So they're talking about fixing it up for future years. So the next 3 days were a crazy mess of trying to hit every panel possible, mostly writing panels, fursuit construction, 2 live podcasts, and the main events. We did hit a few parties, but not many, seeing as there were a few early morning panels. Gotta love seeing live animals. Although, with a bit of hindsight, we probably should have made more time for food. For all the ups, there were a few downs, which could mostly be chalked up to poor communication between roommates, the odd unexpected fetishes, and having someone walk in on what, by most, might be considered a private moment. Hurrah for being exhibitionists and rooming with voyeurs! As far as FC itself, there were no downs and never a dull moment was had. I greatly look forward to the next convention, BLFC, Biggest Little FurCon, which is only 2 months away. JJ Cynic. P.S. I found out about Notcast through my mate, X3 No Fox.
And I guess it's Xeno Fox.
Oh, sorry, I'm not.
Catface O Fox. Yeah,
it's Xeno Fox. My bad. I feel like an idiot. Okay. And he keeps telling me to go back and listen to the show from the beginning. Well, I think that's cool. I was wondering if you could provide a little bit of input on where I should start off or recommend a few of your favorite episodes. I've only been listening to this podcast for about 10 months now. So, thanks for the con report.
God, glad you had a good first con.
Where would you start at this point?
I know, right? I mean, all of our episodes are available on our website at notcast.com or foxduffers.com.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. I don't think all of them are available on iTunes anymore.
No, we had cut it off at 42, and then didn't we cut it off at like 100
or something? Yeah, we could trim what's available via iTunes, but it's always available on our website.
Yeah.
I guess you could do...
Well, the current cast started post OklaCon 2010, right? Was that the year?
2011, I think.
2011? Okay.
Yeah, OklaCon 2011, I think, was the start of the new cast. The current cast of just Mifuzz and Shiba. You can go back and listen to older episodes, but, your mileage may vary.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of good moments in there, but the early ones, I imagine, were a lot rougher, were a little less mature, and we weren't really sure where... We were still sort of plotting out where we're still going,
figuring out what the fuck we were doing. I mean, at this point, you know, our show is pretty much set in stone, even though we've fuddled around with it a little bit as of late.
Well, I think you got to move things around every couple of years just to kind of.
Oh yeah, just so you, I mean, and the fact that we're doing shorter episodes and doing back on Thursday again, so we can have our Fridays free.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I mean, yeah, either you adapt or you die.
Evolve or die. But evolution's a solution if you want to win. That should have been the whole Bill Nye debate. He should have just sung like the Pokemon song.
Pokemon, oh, you're my best friend. So yeah, I guess start at the beginning. It's really hard. I mean, again, this is like episode 243. There is like two literal weeks of audio. There was probably over 312 hours of not cast.
Mm.
Which is kind of scary when you think about it. Two entire literal full weeks of audio.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to pick and choose. I mean, you can do some of the Wheel of Fetishes episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a lot of our episode titles don't necessarily have a lot to do with the content of the episode.
Yeah, sometimes it's something stupid comes up during the course of recording, or we think up the title the week before or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we always do our shit week to week, and the only reason this week's episode is, you know, the feel when no BF is... The original line is no GF, but since this is a furry podcast, you gotta be gay.
Not to make any broad generalizations or anything.
So, yeah, start from the beginning, pick and choose. I mean, you can obviously chart, you know, how the show's evolved since then. I mean,
listen to our OklaCon live shows. Those usually turn out really well. Yeah,
the
OklaCon
ones are good. The Furry Fiesta ones, not so much. Actually, the Furry Fiesta ones that make it to the feed are good. The ones that didn't make it to the feed don't exist.
Yeah, I know at least one of the times there was legitimately a dead cable.
Yeah,
that caused issues, but that was also when like Laser Shoot Larry came up and told us about his dog fucking and
the spider tangent and
clock spider tangent was kind of funny.
Yeah, and remember that one show at MFM?
No, I don't.
That's right, we don't. Because it never made it anywhere. So.
Speaking of which, no live show at Fiesta this year. We're taking a year off.
Yeah. We've got too much shit to do. We've got a new hotel to fucking worry about.
Yeah. We might have a gather. I know I'll be having a room party
or something. Yeah, we'll figure it out. So, I think at this point, again, there's not going to be a new episode next week. I'm going to put this out, like, tonight. So it'll be available tomorrow. On okay. Valentine's Day.
Cool.
Or Singles Awareness Day. However, you know, how bitter you want to be. And...
slap you.
We'll just,
So what's the next con you're doing? Apart from Fiesta, obviously.
Apart from Fiesta, it will be Babs Con in the Bay Area from...
And that's April.
That is in April from the 18th through the 20th. 420 cool. Blaze It. In San Francisco.
Please, faggot.
I'm actually going to be in the Bay Area for there from the 14th through the 21st. An entire fucking week.
It is That'll be pretty awesome. Nice.
Gonna go there, fuck bitches, get money.
I know for sure I'm going to Anthrocon. And I'm not going to FWA because of work. And anything other than that is up in the air. Like, I've actually toyed with the idea of doing a con just to go to the con and, like, you know, maybe help out a little bit, maybe go to some panels or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, but not deal and just go see friends.
Yeah, it's so. Like Flane was saying he was interested in doing AC this year, and I'm like, I don't know.
Mm.
I would totally be down with going with him to a con and just fur fagging it up.
Flame doing AC? Isn't that kind of self-insertion?
Oh, literally! but we'll see about that. Because then I've also got A-Con this year and PonyCon 2, The Ride Never Ends, Boogaloo.
Mm. What do you think of doing Central Plains for a con this year?
Might be cool.
Because I can't remember.
You said it was small and fun.
It was small and fun, but they moved their dates. They might conflict with potential Nightmare Nights time frame.
Well, Nightmare Nights is probably going to be a couple weeks earlier this year because we were looking at the same dates as we had last year.
Right.
And basically they're like, yeah, there's a big wedding planned that day.
Oh.
And even though a convention would net them a lot more money, apparently the person having a wedding is a large investor in the corporation that owns the convention, or owns the hotel. Oh. So they're probably not going to bump her. We might be the week before Halloween. Definitely not on Halloween, but the weekend after Halloween is occupied, and the weekend after that is really fucking close to Thanksgiving.
Right.
And we don't want to get too close to that.
Yeah, like even MFF moved this year. They were traditionally always the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And they have now moved to the first week of December, I want to say. Which caused some ruckus. Like, people got all up in their grill about it. And it's like, you know, they had to make a call when it came to their hotel.
I think the only people that would have a valid bitch about it is that if they had already, like, pre-purchased hotel nights or flights. And if you're buying things that far out, you're kind of a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
You're preparing, but you're also not taking into account that things can change quite a bit.
Yeah. And given this year where, like, FCN closed down and was replaced by Motor City, and then Fur Fright closed down and has not yet been replaced, it's sort of like you can't really... And they announced their new dates in December. Oh, wait, no, January. Like, as soon as they had a contract, they announced it. It's like, oh, they only announced their dates, like, 11 months in advance.
Yeah,
and I mean, people were still complaining.
Well, people are going to complain all the time, no matter what, but...
It was kind of ridiculous.
Well, so. It's also one of those things that it could also cause... I mean, the weekend before Thanksgiving, people are... Like, there's not really... people in college aren't necessarily going to have college.
Yeah.
And, you know, finals aren't until December. So, like, they could find themselves in the middle of a bunch of finals time.
That was actually pointed out. And I do understand that that is frustrating.
Well, it's like part of, like, Nightmare Nights last year.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their thing, part of our thing, because it's totally a separate thing, that's somebody else that runs that convention. That people were like, I can't come because I have finals.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, it's a reasonable assertion, a reasonable thing. I mean,
yeah.
In October, people aren't going to have finals.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Unfortunately, you've got to make a call as to what's best for the convention and the majority of your attendees.
Yeah.
And they were really stuck between a rock and a hard place.
And in the end, I mean, there's going to be people that bitch, but there could be just as equal, if not greater, number of people that can now come.
That were not able to.
Yeah, before. Because, oh, wait, I have to go and spend time with my family the week of Thanksgiving.
Right. So on to less dramatic topics, back to Central Plains FurCon, which has a new website. It is cpfurcon.com, and their dates this year are November 6th to 10th, which was Nightmare Nights dates last year.
Yeah.
So it'll be after Nightmare Nights then.
Mm-hmm.
So you could potentially go.
Yeah, it'd be 2 weeks after.
It's up in Wichita, which is a 5-6 hour drive for us, and it's really quiet, really chill. Guardian and Rahada and Keo went last year, and the four of us all hung out and had dinner and stuff like that. And Laura Garabedian is a guest of honor this year, who's an artist that we've been working with. And we published an art book for her recently. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool. You know, we'll probably have dinner with her.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, You know, we've recently had a number of small conventions follow us on Twitter.
Oh.
On the Notcast Twitter.
Huh.
And I'm just thinking, it's like, do we really want to go down that road and start talking to conventions and promoting them via this show?
I don't want to make like a commitment where we promote the same con every time, like it's an ad, like the ad that we've totally forgotten to do this week, by the way.
We'll just slap it on the end.
Okay.
AdamandEve.com.
Yeah, coupon code NOT, K-N-O-T. They don't have a convention.
Buy yourself a dick. Put it in your butt. But or your
for
vagina.
Cons that I feel strongly about, like, we always promote OklaCon and mention how much fun we've had there in the past. Of course, we promote our own local convention, and I probably would do that even if I wasn't involved with the convention.
Because it's in our backyard.
And, you know, and I've mentioned Central Plains for a con a couple times now because I had a good time. They had some first-year glitches, but they were interested in my feedback, and I talked to them, and, you know, I'm sure they got feedback from all the attendees, and it looks like they're doing a little more with the social media this year, and I'm like, you know, this could be a really nice con that's not too far away from us. I'd really like to see them succeed, so I want to mention them.
Yeah.
Plus, the hotel was amazing, and the hotel restaurant was just awesome.
And, furry convention politics are not nearly as cutthroat.
Like, furry conventions actually work together, unlike brony conventions that seem to want to compete with each other.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to an extent, some furry conventions are going to compete, you know, because they're in a similar geographic distance and we're getting cons in nearly every state now. But no one's actively, like,
trying to sabotage Fiesta.
Yeah, I'm going to crush this other convention or something like that.
But also not any furry cons near our weekend.
Well, I didn't mean just us. I meant in furry cons in general.
Oh, yeah.
There's not really a lot of animosity between other conventions. And
we're also like a 30-year-old fandom.
Yeah.
We got all that out of our system.
Yeah, if it was ever there. I don't know if it was or not. But
yeah.
That was also pre-internet, I guess, those early ones.
Yeah. Had to get out word via zines and,
and
Usenet and BBSs.
Oh, my God. The olden days. Oh, so speaking of the olden days, I discovered something kind of interesting the other day. Further Confusion's board runs I've forgotten the name of it now. I tweeted it.
It was like the anthropomorphic
repository
or something like that. It's so, basically like a,
they're trying to make like sort of like Worldcon does, where they've collected all the con books and convention ephemera and also books and comics and zines and APAs and stuff like that, and like they're trying to make a furry fandom library / history museum of the fandom. And I guess, I don't know what they have, if they have like a storage facility somewhere, or if it's just in one of the members' closets or something.
See, that's also one of those things that I halfway wish that they would digitize as well.
Mm.
Because, like, I can guarantee you that a good 80-90% of the stuff that was produced pre-2000 is completely out of print and nobody knows half of it exists.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have, like, stuff that you can buy back catalog of in some degree or another, like Furlough. But, you know, shit like Critters and Albedo and the Irma Felna stuff, which was in Albedo.
Or, like, APAs like Gallery and Huzzah.
Or Tales of the Taipan Universe.
They actually still sell most of those.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think they print them themselves.
Yeah, they're cheap as shit, spiral bound, have illustrations from Terry Smith in them.
Yep.
I have one that I bought for like $3 at Anthrocon 2004. It's kind of crazy to think that I've had, God, that's 10 years ago. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I've been going to furry conventions a third of my life.
Oh, I don't want to do the math, actually. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
So I have a birthday coming up. I'm going to have that fucking, oh, my God, where am I? Oh, why am I so old? Because my parents fucked a long time ago. That's why I'm so old. But still.
Better than you not being so old and being dead.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because I think it's cool that they're doing that, and I think it's really smart. I also think it'd be really cool if they could, like, digitize this shit.
There's probably a lot of rights issues.
Oh, I know. There's probably a billion things. It's like, well, because, I mean, you know, the Pony Fandom did/does something like the Traveling Pony Museum, which collects, like, one-of-a-kind handcrafts and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And people donate, like, copies of their prints and stuff. And if they're sufficiently high quality, they get displayed at conventions. It's really silly and self-indulgent for a fandom that's barely four. It's not even four yet.
Right.
But for a furry community that's been around for 30-plus years at this point, it's more reasonable.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Trek fans have something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Have a collection of all the original Spock, Kirk, slash fics. With all their delightful covers. There actually is a website that they did.
They scanned them in?
They scanned the covers with a description of what they were and when they were released. They don't have the digital content or anything. They just have the covers, and some of the covers are fucking amazing. In this delightful 70s, 80s cheese way.
Wow. It's kind of funny. Like, I can't remember. I think it might have been.
Then, of course, there was, like, the crack ship, like, the Star Wars stuff.
Uh-huh.
That was, like, C-3PO and Chewbacca.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, there was lots of, like, Han, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
And then Luke, Leia stuff before the movies. And then after Empire, there's even more. You know.
God.
Fanfic has never changed.
Who was it that I was hearing talking, or it was a podcast, something was talking about how back in the day, there'd be, like, whole tables that were just Star Trek slash fic printed out and bound. Mostly by hand. And it's like, you're not going to see that. Like, conventions have grown up and become so much more legitimate. But, man, I got to tell you, at that WizardCon, when I briefly walked around the dealer's room, I didn't want to spend any money beyond just a little food. But there were a lot of bootleg stuff there. Like clearly homemade DVDs, photoshopped covers based on BBC covers that were like, you know what? I know that particular collection of episodes. I don't remember that ever being released. And I kind of try to keep mostly in the loop about the Doctor Who DVDs.
Yeah. But there's actually on the convention, too, because, I mean,
yeah, I was surprised because I thought cons in general were cracking down on that.
Well, like,
kind
of
a no bootleg rule. All con has an old no bootleg rule.
But so do Anime Fest and Akon.
Yeah.
And Akon will throw your ass out of the dealer's den if you have bootlegs.
Mm-hmm.
And Akon is a place that has a 8-year waiting list.
Yeah.
And I know this for a fact. I have been told so.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
So, yeah. I have some anecdotes, but I can't really share them. But yeah, needless to say, don't accuse people of having bootlegs if you yourself have bootleg shit in your booth.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
You'll have to tell me all about this later.
Just saying. So, yeah, conventions generally have to crack down on that shit, but that's kind of strange.
Especially
like Wizard World, of all things.
Yeah.
The most corporate of corporate conventions.
They looked bootleg to me. I mean, I'm just saying, from a cursory glance past tables, I saw a couple that looked kind of shady.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. And, you know, there's definitely a good reason for cons to be on the ball about that. They invite industry guests, you know. If they don't police that, it could totally bite them in the ass with their ability to get their guests.
Well, it's not just that, but, like, the convention itself could be, you know, could be liable for this shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the licensing groups, and because, you know, just here's a tip, kids. If there are companies that will send their representatives, their legal representatives, incognito, to look through your shit. Now, I'm not saying that furry cons do this. It probably does not happen to furry cons. That still means don't have bootleg shit in your booth. Because, I mean, even Fiesta has rules against bootlegs.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, but there are companies that will come in and send their reps, and they will check out booths for bootleg shit. And if you get caught, your ass is in the sling.
Because,
like, I know for a fact that, like, I'm sure Funimation, oh, I can't, don't know for a fact, I'm pretty damn sure that, like, Funimation sends reps to the various anime cons around here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're local, and Funimation's one of the few anime producers still present in the U.S., you know.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And, you know, I'm sure that companies that distribute shit in America, you know, they'll have reps at these cons to make sure that you're not pulling cheap shit off a boat in China. You know, I don't know. Just don't have bootleg shit, kids.
My tiny horse.
My demon donkey.
And it's Alicorn Derpy.
That would actually sell pretty well.
Well, you saw the card.
Yeah, the one that Sophie did.
Yeah.
That super fan.
So fine. Your room party game is fun. You should totally buy it.
Yep.
So yeah, Furry Fiesta. Woo!
Oh god, it's a week away. I'm gonna be in my cave all weekend playing Vidja and street passing the shit out of people.
I will be slinging books.
I'm going to get so many street passes and so many puzzle pieces this weekend.
I'm
going to
fuck so many bitches. No, wait, no. I'm going to sell so many books.
No, you can still fuck bitches.
Oh, okay, probably not at the same time.
No.
Hey, after you come, do you want to buy one of my books?
Well, that's why we have table skirts. You just sit down.
Oh, you know I like skirts.
I'm not saying fuck the table.
No, a flashlight under the table.
No, you just, you know, hide your fox boy under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay seated when people interact with you. You're like, I can't get up. Could you hand me my phone so I can swipe your square on my square?
No, sorry, it's a little wet. Your change is $4.99.
Four. Here's your $4. Have a great day.
I need you to sign this fucking thing. Ah.
And you're like, oh, thanks. You just kick them out on the other side.
They roll half naked into the aisle. God. Go back to your shame hole.
But as long as they were informed consent, that's important.
That's right, yes.
God.
I'll also have the informed consent of the convention, so it's okay.
God. Anyways, yeah, Furry Fiesta next weekend. Go to adamandeve.com, buy something, use our coupon code NOT, KNOT. Save yourself 50% on something to put up your butt, or put up somebody else's butt, or in your vagina. You know, whatever.
Or somebody else's vagina, or...
Or buy some lube. Slickwood's pretty good.
Okay.
I think they have that.
I don't know.
It goes pretty good in your butt.
You could buy a fake butt. And a fake cock and a fake vagina and stick them into each other.
Yeah. I've actually seen a GIF where it's those, you know, fucking machines.
Uh-huh.
And they put on, like, low setting a fleshlight and a dildo. And uh-huh. It's just... Nye, nye. It's like, yes, it's so erotic. Nye,
nye. It's robot sex.
Yeah, it's robots fucking.
Nice.
Anyways. On that note,
good night.
And big balls.